Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, listener dear, we are back in your ear canal to cause havoc. Lock up your child. Oh, God. Oh, mate.
That's not good. That's not a good start, unfortunately. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting.
Lock up your ear canals.
Lock up your ear canals and your children.
Leave us in.
Yes, there you go. Lock us in your ear canals. And also lock up your child. You know, you never know what they've done.
I would have said, don't go back to a lit firework, Parry. I think you've actually made it worse. You've blown the other hand off now. Well, anyway, welcome everybody.
Can I talk you through my process?
Please.
You're going to, so yeah, go on, let's say yes.
Well, I like the phrase, lock up your, as in like things are going to happen, but then I thought in my brain, I was like, that's not good. You can't say daughter.
No, you can't say lock up your daughter, but then also
think,
you can't
say... child was much worse.
Yeah.
There you go. Well...
Do you know what? It's good. It's a good experiment, isn't it, to do these
start
things.
Sentences and not end.
Exactly. Just to see
I've
what happens.
A career out of it.
Try it today, listener dear. Start talking, see what you come up with, and get in touch with us. pappysflatshare@gmail.com.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Just start speaking, and we'll read out our favourite entries.
Do you want to play the game as well? Start speaking, and we'll finish it for you.
Mm. Oh yes,
that could
please
work.
Please do. That's a game they do, isn't it? On like Twitter, people say type in these words and then let your phone kind of auto complete the rest of the sentence, and that's effectively what your brain does all the time.
Very true. Very true.
Very much so. You would.
I have a smart brain.
Do you? That's one way of looking at it. Yeah, certainly.
That is certainly one way. I've got a terrible habit of going, just that, you know, like when something's occurred to you, you want to say it. The conversation's moving away. You don't think you're going to get a chance to say it. So you just, you're putting a sound to give yourself the space to say
it's
it.
It's just enough to bring, it's just enough to bring the camera to you on speak of you on the Zoom meeting.
Yeah, and then it's gone. So you've just gone,
So wait, it's gone, the moment's gone, or you've forgotten it?
Forgotten it.
My dad always fills that moment with, does anyone want a cup of tea? And the whole room could be holding...
when you're in a pub.
The whole room could be holding cups of tea, or you could be, you're halfway up a hill on a walk. And because he's had that moment of panic, you see... And then he goes for his get out. Does anyone want a cup of tea? So you can have that if you need it.
That's good. Yeah, I'll do that.
My version of that is that I say right quite a lot. And I didn't realise I said it as much as I do until my daughter started repeating it back. So if she sees me, she'll go, right, dada. Because she knows I'm going to go, right. Which is my way. It's kind of buying myself the thinking time to go, what is it I'm actually going to do now?
Yeah.
What am I doing? Am I putting on my shoes?
Please
am
stop
I brushing
Cleo
her tea?
Cups of tea. She's too young for those cups of tea. Lock up your child.
I want to keep her that size, though. She's so cute, this size. I think she just can't just stay that size forever.
Well, I mean, genetically, she probably will.
Yeah, she hasn't got much.
Is that what your mum and dad said to you, Crossbow?
Keep drinking that tea, boy.
And stay in your cage.
Let's lock him up and hope he stays the same size.
Lock up your child and give him some tea. It's Pappy's. I guess that is a catchphrase of sorts.
It is.
Well, today's a house meeting, guys. And if you're enjoying these house meetings and you haven't yet done it, you could always whittle your way over to Patreon, where if you join up for a Patreon, you will get... Well, for $5 a month, you will get what is known in the trade as a shitload of bonus content.
Yeah, full yeah. episodes of a bunch of different shows. There's bonus beefs. There are all the audio outtakes from Flatshare Slamdowns. But most importantly, there's a brand new show, which is phenomenal. We're sort of 60 plus episodes into it now, and it's called Flatshare Lockdown. And it's basically, it's very, very similar to this. It's us having a chat, but we read your letters as well. And there are games, there are features. It's
very interactive.
It's very interactive and it's very fun. And if you want to get in touch with us, it's a great way to do it. And it's also a great way to get in touch with other people who enjoy this podcast.
Or also, I have to say, there is the my particular favourite is when we do a Love, Sex, Shagdown.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
The sexy version of this.
We have a sexy special.
So sexy. It's absolutely gross.
I mean, this is actually quite a sexy episode already.
Yeah, all of that is waiting for you, listener dear. But in the meantime, enjoy this house meeting, which, Crosby, you're absolutely right, it is a fairly sexy one.
Thank you.
We get into the nuts and bolts of making a top three list. Lock up your child.
No.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
Here's something.
Oh, I
found out.
Yes.
It's something I found out about myself. Well, no, actually, I think I've known this for a while, actually.
But you've never, you're now facing up to this truth.
Do you think we're going to know it?
Well, I want to know what it says about me. And I'm sure.
That's a very good question, actually, Clarky. Do you think, do you think we can guess what it is about you? Can you walk us up to how you came to the realization? We'll tell you. What were you doing that this realization dawned on you? And Clark and I will tell you what we think it says about your personality. Or are you worried that's a Pandora's box we don't want to open?
No, I want to tell it. I don't think you'll be able to guess it.
Is the truth that you cannot relinquish control? Is that what the truth is?
What? I'm not.
It's the truth that you get annoyed.
you're not giving me the chance to say. No, hang on. I'm going to guess what it is. Okay. I mean, it's quite broad.
Okay.
Go on. Let's hear this. Have a good old stab in the dark, and then we'll see if you're correct.
Okay, cool.
Can you imagine if we got it now? Holy shit, that was it.
So what were you doing when it happened?
My wife was having her baby shower.
Your wife was having her baby shower. Did you realise you're about to become a father?
That was part of it, but no, it's not that. Okay, look, I'm going to jump to it, okay?
Okay.
Because I think you'll probably feel the same way. I think a lot of people feel the same way. That's what I'm getting at.
Okay.
So the conversation turned to, it was my wife and her friends, and they started talking about who's your top three, like celebrity crushes.
Right.
Or
yes.
People, you know. And I was like, I don't think... I'm really rubbish at those conversations, and it doesn't occupy part of my brain, that kind of a list of dream, like, people to be with.
Right.
I don't think it ever has. That's what I'm getting at, is like, I think it's kind of like something I always feel like you should have.
you should fancy celebrities, but actually you don't.
Yeah, you should have that thing of going, well, just for one night with, I mean, like, Idris Elba reared his ugly head a lot in the, not his ugly head,
well,
he's
I was going to say,
extremely,
quite the opposite,
extremely attractive head. He's on my top three.
Yeah, I mean, he's
a gorgeous man.
He's a multi-talented man. But like, you know, like,
that's what I'm going for. He's so talented. He can rap. He can act. He can appear in Crosby's Dreams. It's phenomenal the stuff this guy can do.
What an appearance! Yeah. As well.
Huge appearance.
Save it until like the halfway mark. In comes Big Driss. Whoa!
Big Driss is coming in. Yes, coming in swinging.
All I'm saying is, like, it feels like the I think you're supposed to be able to go, well, it's this person and that person and this person. And I always panic and go back to when I was like 14. And,
that was exactly, you know, what I was going to say.
You say Claudia
Schiffer.
Mine
are still Jets and Natalie Imbruglia.
Yeah, and then you kind of have to examine it. So, like, there was real pressure put on. Like, all the girls, they've been, you know, I took a cup of tea out for someone and they were like, your turn, your turn. It was, they were a baying mob.
Yeah.
Demanding my top three. And I was, like, panicking and lying a bit, going like, oh.
So who did you go for in your top three?
Well, like, say, for example, Natalie Portman is one that I'll say. I'll say, like, oh, Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
But I say it because I think it's an acceptable answer.
Sure.
Not because I don't lose 10 minutes a day thinking, oh, if only me and Natalie could go for a picnic.
Yeah, it's an acceptable answer unless you say Natalie Portman in Leon, in which case it's an unacceptable answer.
Yes.
But yes, I know exactly what you mean. That's a classic. But then I think I've got a similar thing with music as well. When I can, when I sort of list my top five bands, most of them are bands I got into when I was about 15, 16, and they've kind of stuck. I think it takes a lot for a band to come along and get into the top five now.
I've parked the idea of lists. I think lists... I was big into the idea of lists when I was probably 17, 18.
Yeah.
Like, we'd be up late or, like, you know, it's that kind of, no, you need to know your top five films, you know, like,
yeah,
you'd
totally
be debating. And, like, you know, and now, and, like, you know, especially, like, the Guardian get a lot of content out of lists these days. You know, like, they'll be like, here's your top 18 Destiny Child songs. And you'll be like, what? There were 18 of them? But, like, you know, like, they go...
There were more than 18,
and here they are. But, like, you know, whenever if I'm in a gathering or a house party now, and someone goes like, "Oh, you like films? Come on, then, name your top five." I always think like, "No, no, actually, because I've lost the love of lists."
Although, I tell you what it is, and I totally agree with everything you're saying here, but I tell you what it's useful for, because so often, my memory's so bad, if I'm in one of those conversations and someone's like, the alternative to what's your top five films is, seeing any good ones recently? And my mind just goes completely blank.
Yeah. So you can at least go, well, I saw Pulp Fiction.
Yeah,
so I can talk
Jurassic
about that.
Park was a real.
I watched the semi-final of Series 2 of Gladiators 20 years ago.
But it is a good point, actually, because there's something quite. Well, I tell you what it was. I think when you're a teenager, certainly in my friendship group, it seems to be a lot of. It's not even one-upmanship. It's like accruing knowledge to use as perceived power. Like, I know about this band.
We're back to power.
I know about this. I know about this film. I've got this knowledge that perhaps you don't have. My tastes are a little bit more refined than yours. It feels like that. It feels a little bit like that's the reason you're doing it. And
it's pluming one's feathers.
It's a bit.
With lists.
I tell you what. Here's an example of something, and I do love that expression, Tom.
top three.
We'll get to our top three expressions in a second. I think people could probably work out what
mine's
our top
confusion by the way.
a blank expression and then laughing. That's Clarkie's top three impressions in one. I was talking to somebody about a film that they'd really enjoyed and I'd hated, right? We'd both been to see the same film over a weekend, not together. They'd loved it, I'd hated it. And I thought to myself, if this had been 15 years ago, I would have been explaining to them why they were wrong. And now I'm like, do you know what? Fuck me. I don't need to tell them that I didn't enjoy the film. So I just went along and agreed that I liked it. I thought, what is...
You said fuck me. Were you talking to Idris Elba?
Idris Elba, yeah.
Big Driss had loved it. Is it one of his?
Can only assume so. No, it was... I won't say what the film is or the person, But I just thought, what's the point in me saying, look, I thought it was bad, you know, for these reasons.
Amen. Amen
and,
to that.
And you know what? I actually got all of that out of my system because I went to see it with my wife. We came out the cinema. We were like, well, that was dog shit. And we had the most entertaining journey home because that's great fun. When you both hate a film together and you're not kind of going, yeah, but I hated it and therefore I'm, you know, you're just agreeing to hate the thing. Delightful. Absolutely delightful. Whereas if I'm now trying to convince somebody else, yeah, but what you missed out on, because also the exact same is true of me. I missed out on all the things that you enjoyed. I didn't get anything from those things. That's also my fault.
Okay, here's a question though. Is there a pleasure or is there a like getting into the nuts and bolts of it and being like, right, we're going to go to the pub, we're going to debate this film, and I'm going to try and convince you that it was shit, right? That was like the old days,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
All I'm saying is these days, is there an even more annoying pleasure in going, oh, you loved it. Oh, great. No, that's good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I mean, I didn't, but each to their own. Is,
oh, no.
No, but I did. I mean, it wasn't for me, but you go. You if you liked it, that's great.
That's not what I did. You've got. I don't.
No.
I don't want you to make it seem
not,
like that's what I did.
No. Because
that
I'm
is,
not saying that's
that
what
is
you did.
Far worse, I would say.
yeah. But I'm saying like, kind of
okay.
Like,
ooh.
All right. Well, I mean, if you liked it.
No. Yeah, I mean, like. Clearly, it was up your street.
I mean, I guess they say, different strokes for different folks. There are smart people and there are dumb people. Like, that's just the way the world works. It's a roll
I'm
of the dice.
I'm not saying which is which. Exactly. I'm just saying. Just saying one of us is fucking stupid. You know?
Exactly. So is there a pleasure in that? Well, there definitely is. There's definitely going to be some pass ag with the ag slightly more ag than the pass. People out there it's just gonna, you know, but it's not me. I'll tell you another example of that is when I started teaching back in the day, so this is about 2002 2003, and I would have my little Discman that one of the kids eventually nicked. I'd have my little Discman with me and I'd be walking to school listening to something, and if another teacher would come up to me and go, hey, what are you listening to? I thought, what's the point in telling them? What's the point? So I would always say Red Hot Chili Peppers, because everyone's heard of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and then I can talk about the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I mean, I hate the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I think they're fucking dog shit.
You hate them.
But I didn't want to run the, you know, just say U2. I'm listening to U2. And they go, all right, and that's the end of the conversation. Rather than having to explain who a band is or, you know.
Yeah. I think now we're in the realm of you don't want to have conversations with people.
That's also true. That's also true. Yeah. Yeah. When I was coming back from Mac, a couple of years ago, the comedy festival, sadly not, didn't happen this year. Hope it does in a couple of years' time, if not next year. Then I was on the train station platform and waiting for the train to take me home. And, you know, that's a long journey. What are we talking? It's 6 hours, maybe, to get back. Oof. And I was on the same platform as another comic who I like very much, but I don't like 7 hours worth of me and them sitting together chatting.
I hear you.
And then...
It was me.
It was Clarky.
fair enough, mate.
And so the other, so I actually said,
that was Aberystwyth, wasn't it?
Was that Aberystwyth? Aberystwyth. The journey Clark and I made home. We were unpopular with everybody else on the carriage because we brought fish and chips onto a train that we didn't realise was going to be one carriage long. we'd not got the train out of Aberystwyth before. And just as the train pulled in, this comic said to me, "Oh, I'm just going to go and sit on a different part of the train." And I was like, "You're amazing. That's amazing. I'd never have that. I would have stuck it out for 7 hours, making awkward conversation." They were just like, "I don't want to talk to you." They didn't say it in a rude way. They just said it like, "Oh, I'm just going to go and sit in a different part of the train." Great. What a delight. What maturity.
I faked phone calls before in that situation, not to get on the tube with someone.
Right.
Like, I turned up at an event. They were like, oh, you're here. I'm here on my own. Let's sit together. And you go, well, okay. And then, you know, robbing you of the bliss of being at an event on your own, which, you know, is a special kind of pleasure, I think.
Can you tell me what kind of an event this was? Because it's interesting you say, because I always think if you get to an event on your own, you're looking around for the person who you're going to latch onto. That's what I feel. What kind of event?
Yeah, but there's a right and a wrong person, isn't there?
Yes, that's true.
It was a live gig.
Oh, okay. Oh, in which case, no.
I was in the audience.
Yeah, no, I could. Oh, fine. Yeah, yeah.
The joy of being in the audience on your own.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's a real treat.
You're the smartest person in the theatre if you're there on your own. Sure, I've talked about this before.
But that's true if you're there with other people, isn't it, Parry?
No. Oh, you liked that, did you? Oh, okay. I'm not, you know.
You go on your own.
End of discussion. If you liked it, you liked it.
You go on your own and people arrive chatting to their friends and you like, oh, come with your friends, do you? Do you know what I mean? It's great.
No, I don't know what you mean. I don't look at other people and pity them for having friends.
Social trip for you, this, is it?
Mm. Oh, it's just me and my notebook, I'm afraid to say.
Interesting. And my notebook's up here.
Just,
okay.
Yeah, sorry, excuse me, my notebook's up here, actually. Thank you.
Oh.
Brought your mom, one of my top five notebooks. Why is not liking something feels like a stronger position than liking something?
Because there's tons of stuff you like. It's very, you know, like there's loads of stuff you're kind of going, yeah, we sort of like this. That's fine. We're still, you know, at the moment, I'm still watching Bloodlines. I kind of like it. I don't hate it. I'm not going to.
Isn't it because you like Bloodlines? No, that's great.
It's
great.
I don't love it.
If you like that, that's like, well, no. I mean, you know.
Clearly like it, though, if you're watching it.
I'm watching it, yeah.
That's good. I'm glad.
You know, because other people might think, I hate
not for
that.
Me. I gave it one episode and I just thought, well, but I get it. I mean, why
first season,
fine,
honestly. Like, when it kicks up again. But I mean, good on you for sticking it out. I
yeah, cheers, guys. You know, this is all very
because sometimes I know what you mean. Like, because sometimes you just want to switch off when you watch something. You know, some people just don't like to think. And that's fair enough, you know.
Just something to veg out.
So go on. What's your answer to the conundrum, Parry?
I think it's because you're active. It's more active to dislike, because obviously something's got made with the intention, the direction of the energy of the thing that's being created is for people to enjoy it. Obviously, there's exceptions to that rule. There's like, but no one's like, not many people are making a film going, I actively want people to dislike this, or yes, I've written this song, I want people to dislike it.
It can be challenging, but you're not saying I want it to be challenging and also really unenjoyable.
So like the flow of the energy is to go, oh yeah, I like this. Like, this is something everyone should like. I like this, or this is, you know, and so it's a more active position to go, no, that wasn't good, actually, because then you therefore have to kind of back up why.
You've got to kind of contradict everyone who made it.
To be critical, yeah, is more active.
But then, I'd always think that would be a harder position. But at the same time, it is like, if you...
Yeah, I suppose, you've done more, I think, to dislike it.
I think you feel a bit more vulnerable as well when you like something. Why is that? I don't know.
It's a good point, actually. Yeah, there is something.
But it's like, if you go like, oh, I love that film, and someone's like, oh, I hated it. You go like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I instantly feel like I'm wrong in that position.
Yep. I do as well. If ever I'm really enjoying something, it's not quite having the courage of, because also, you know, I can happily watch crap and
Bloodlines.
Really enjoy it. Bloodlines. have you seen Bloodlines?
I don't know what it is.
I have, actually, yeah.
Is it good? Is it good, Clarkie? Clarkie, help me out here, mate.
I really like the first season.
All right, that's what we're on at the moment. We're on the first season, yeah.
There you go. I really like the first season.
So we can.
How many seasons are there?
I don't know. I stopped watching after the first.
Did you watch any of the second season, or did you just?
I watched a bit of the second.
And you're like, this isn't
good.
I wasn't
getting on with it as much. No, but then I do think that like generally on scene, like it seems like a lot of stuff with like dramas and stuff, they've written the first season that goes, yeah. And then they're like, well done, you've got a second season. They're like, oh,
that took us by surprise. Because
I mean, that's good.
You do realize we've made Bloodlines, which is not a good show. So if you want to give us a second series, I mean, sure. But I mean, like, I mean, that's what you want to do.
Are we on?
Sure.
What season are we
on
now?
We're on season 10. Harry.
We're on famously tricky season 10. Start to eat itself a bit, you know.
Right, what's going to be? We need some kind of big twist here. Listen, I am Russian, okay, and I. Have
well, you're Welsh. You're always Welsh. Listen, I am Russian, okay, boyo.
That's the plot.
From the Russian valleys.
Listen, I'm Russian, okay. I don't know if you remember. I think was episode 1, series 2 of Badults. So you can't use twists. You can't use twists that you've already used. That's the
good point, actually.
M. Night Shyamalan can't keep going that Bruce Willis is dead. If at the end of every one of his movies, Bruce Willis shows up, I'm dead, by the way.
Bruce Willis was dead. He wasn't even in it, exactly.
Be like one of Crosby's dreams with Idris Elba. By the way, I'm here, all right, and I'm in a vest.
Oh, God. God, it's Charlie, what's his name? Was he called Charlie Big Potatoes? What's his TV show called? Idris Elba?
I don't know.
Oh, I can't remember.
Is it Luther?
Charlie Big Potatoes.
Yes, no, Luther. Sorry, it's Luther. Where am I getting Charlie Big Potatoes from? Of course it's Luther.
Imagine if that had been his name in The Wire. We've managed to locate the source of all the drugs flowing into Baltimore. It's Charlie Big Potatoes.
Yeah, it's all coming through the Tempting Tatty in Edinburgh.
That's why they were so tempting.
Charlie Big Potatoes.
House meeting. Is having subtitles in a foreign film cheating?
House meeting.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Emma, can you look up, just very quickly, tell me what I'm thinking of? What?
Don't, yeah, what is it?
How do you
it's like Charlie, don't.
Good luck, something. Charlie. Is it Last Chance, Charlie?
Good night, sweetheart.
Is it Good Night, Sweetheart? Is it Idris Elba in Good Night, Sweetheart?
Oh, I tell you what, that would be a good reboot.
Oh, you like that, do you? Okay.
Well, no, I mean, it was good for what it was.
Turn Up, Charlie.
Turn Up, Charlie. Turn Up. I think Charlie Big Potatoes is a stronger name, actually. Yeah,
I actually think you're right.
Struggling
there.
DJ.
He's a struggling DJ.
Eternal Bachelor.
He is struggling if his name's Turn Up, Charlie. Turn It Up, Charlie. Don't mind that. That's, yeah. Turn Up, Charlie.
Is he called Turn Up, Charlie, because he turns up, or is he called Turn Up because he's got turn ups in his trousers?
Or because he turns up the music? Or turn
name up. The series.
Okay. Let's pick one.
Okay.
Oh, he's just Charlie. He's just Charlie.
And he needs to turn up to his gigs.
Isn't that true of everyone who works?
Yeah, but that's the nickname Turn Up. The crux of it. You need to start turning up, Charlie.
Is the reason he struggles is because he forgets to leave the house when he's DJing, and it's just him in his bedroom, like with the decks just pumping, and they're like, Charlie, you're supposed to be in The Goose. Fuck up, Charlie, more like. Anyway, how do we get onto Charlie Big Potatoes?
Oh, Big Dress, isn't it?
Oh, Big Dress, of course. Yeah.
But also, in this debate for the top three,
yeah,
someone said, yeah, but you can only go on looks.
Ooh, oh. That's an interesting one. What do they mean by that? You can't sort of say, "Oh, I saw them in an interview and they seemed really lovely."
Yeah, I'm trying to think. So, someone had said someone, and I was like, "Yeah, but he's a little bit of a pillock, isn't he? Really?" And they said, "Oh no, it's okay. We're only going on looks."
Was it Lawrence Fox?
No, don't worry, it wasn't Lawrence Fox.
Actually, a little bit of a pillock is not far enough. It's not strong enough. Oh, you like Lawrence Fox? Oh, okay.
No one could even pretend.
No.
It is, yeah, it is. That feels like mental. Do you know what I mean? To be like...
Go on.
No, no. It's only on looks alone.
Yeah, but... No, like, yeah, but... You know, like, I do get that, like, but I don't think you can say it's only on looks alone, but I think you're allowed a free pass for somebody who you fancy, despite the fact that they are an awful person.
Yeah, but it's hard to fancy.
Honestly, all of my relationships have been built on that, Parry. Don't take that away from me. My stunning good looks. Yeah. So why would you count that out?
Do you think if there was a division in the world?
There is. Don't worry. There is. Yeah. Parry. Great news. Read Twitter for 10 seconds and you'll see. There's not just one division in the world. There's fucking hundreds of them. There's millions.
No, look, we're all in it together.
Absolutely.
If you could have on file the good people in the world and the bad people in the world, do you reckon the vast majority of the bad people in the world are going to be good looking?
Oh,
which is like which flies in the face of every fictional narrative.
Yeah, that their inner evil, right, is expressed in an outer ugliness.
Like the big I think that's the biggest lie that gets peddled in fiction, because I think the vast majority of awful people are actually quite good looking.
Do you think so? Let's talk about it, Steve Bannon.
Hunky Steve Bannon,
Sloppy Steve. You've got to love a bit of Sloppy Steve, surely.
Just going on looks. Only on looks, mine. I'm not talking about his politics. Imagine if Bannon's in anyone's top three. That would be imagine that at a dinner party. Anyone. Just on looks. You know, yeah, okay.
I love a bad boy. What can I say?
Steve Bannon. Imagine hearing that from your wife at a dinner party.
Obviously, we'd agree on nothing. Sure, I think he's abhorrent, but come on. When you see those, like...
Can I just say, Jane's answer...
Of course, we want to hear this.
My wife's answer tried to be one person for all three answers, which was Tom Jones, yesterday, today, and forever. She's got three distinct crushes on Tom Jones.
Like in Father Ted, when they do the seven ages of Elvis. Or the three ages of Elvis. She loves the three ages of Tom Jones. When he was like rake thin and skinny and wore the kick flares, you know, the kind of What's New Pussycat era. That's
when
one.
He's like, and then, when he's at the phone box near his pool in LA.
Yes, yeah. He's in the little speedos. Yeah.
Little speedos.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. I see that. And then,
I see it every time I shut my eyes.
There you go. Does everyone have the same top three? Idris Elba, Tom Jones, and Steve Bannon. Got to have a guilty pleasure in there.
Absolutely. You've got to have something for the dads. Idris Elba, Tom Jones, and Steve Bannon. It's not a bad top three, actually.
Fantasy dinner party. There'll be plenty to talk about.
Absolutely, you know.
Once Big Driss finally turns up, he can play something on the decks. if he's not stuck in his home.
DJing solo at home.
Is Big Driss a recluse?
Yeah, he plays a hermit. He plays a hermit called Charlie Big Potatoes, who keeps forgetting to turn up. His manager's really great. Like, his manager's really working for him, getting him loads of gigs. But yeah, he's not leaving his cave. He's just got his deck set up in his cave. It's quite a weird show, actually. But you know what?
He's got a cave.
Got to give it a couple of. You got to give it a couple of episodes for it to really bed in.
Well, Clarkie wouldn't last a season.
No, he wouldn't.
He got to the end of the first season and just thought it's not for me.
Nah. I was enjoying it, but nah.
Nah. I mean, I've also done that. I've also done, like, I enjoyed this, but I'm not going to carry on watching it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You kind of go, like, I get it. I think I know exactly what the next, you know, I know how it pans out. I'm not going to give it 8 hours.
I realise this as well, that I don't think, there's so many TV shows that I say, yes, I like it, but I haven't seen every episode of. And these are like that are like, you know, like finite shows, like a sitcom that ran for 3 series. So what's that, 18 episodes, and I've probably seen 10 of them.
Famously, the number of Destiny's Child songs.
number of good Destiny's Child songs, according to Paul McInnes. What the bloody hell does he know? But yeah, and I just think it's weird because, like, Netflix is very good at kind of going, you haven't finished this, or, you know, you're halfway.
Finish your dinner.
Netflix is very finish your dinner. Yeah, if you want to watch Selling Sunset, you've got to finish Better Call Saul, all right? You can't just start a new thing. It's always sort of reminding you that you haven't finished watching stuff, but, like, you know.
And it'll also be like, oh, you've just ate a burger, here comes a hot dog. And you're like, well, actually, I'm quite full on that burger. And it's like, the hot dog's arriving in 5 seconds. And you're like, oh, God, I'm eating a hot dog now.
Also, watch it again.
I want your version of Netflix. It sounds way better.
Oh, sorry, I meant Just Eat.
And these are things you're ordering yourself.
Can I get a plate of big potatoes, please? I'm not leaving the house tonight.
Me, my decks, my potatoes.
Just the usual for Big Driss. He is Big Driss these days. I'll tell you the amount of potatoes he's chucking
he's
away.
He's carb loaded, isn't he?
He has starched off his nog, I can tell you. Still in my top three, though.
Oh, absolutely. I tell you what, pre-potato Driss, potato Driss, and post-potato Driss are my top three. Love me that.
Yesterday, today, and forever.
Yesterday, today, and round the back of Spud, you like.
I want to finish this.
Yeah. Tom, continue watching. Don't hop off onto Ozark for us. Continue
You're only
watching.
Halfway through your list. Yeah. Come on, mate.
So is it to do with attention deficit, or is it like here's where I'm coming from with it, right? Is I think, and I'm not saying this like, I think anyone can. I'm not saying like I can. I'm saying, is the feeling for everyone? Like, I can imagine exactly how the last 3 series of Game of Thrones pans out. And in my head, it's probably better than what it is.
I think that's not just in your head, in reality.
Like, you kind of go, I get this. I get where it's going to go. And, and almost like, in my head, where it's going to go is where I want it to go. So why spoil it with where they want it to go? Like, do you know what I mean?
Greatest TV shows are in your own mind.
That's what he does, right? This is what he's sat at the back of the theatre on his own.
Smartest man in the theatre.
Stands up, shuts his notebooks, says, I get it, guys, and walks out.
I watched the first 15 minutes. I get it.
I get it. No. I like it. Yes. I mean, well, if you guys like it, that's fine.
Parry, did you just...
Oh, you like this, do you?
Sorry,
cool.
Sorry to interrupt, Clarky. What did you just do there, Parry? Because you threw a tennis ball into the air and then, like, fucked it against your microphone, breaking the pop shield off.
I threw a tennis ball in the air, punched my earphone out off my own head, and then smashed the microphone. Now, that's a plot twist. That one's not coming. Welcome to Series 10, baby! Imagine if I pulled off my mask now and I was Big Driss, munched into a jacket spud like it's a orange.
Or a potato.
Yeah, so but you don't tend to eat spuds like that, do you?
You don't tend to eat oranges like that. I would say I'm more likely to bite into a potato than I have to bite into an orange. I tend to peel an orange and then individually take each segment out and put those in my mouth rather than just to bite through the skin.
Have you not seen The Godfather? That's why... One of my top three films.
Who did you end up saying, by the way, Parry? I've got to ask, who did you end up saying that took you back in time? Was it like Michaela Strachan? And...
I said so Natalie Portman. Yeah. Gillian Anderson.
Yes, again, classic 90s, yeah.
But it's different with Gillian Anderson, actually. Anderson has even more played herself into the list as she's gone on. In that, like, she's so fucking... Like, when I was 15 or something, I thought...
I like the way... Can I just say as well, she's played herself into the list. Like, she's the one going, oh, I've got to keep... Yeah. I've got to keep appearances up because I really want to make Tom Perry's list.
like, obviously, when you're 15 or something, you're just like, oh, she's Scully.
Yeah.
And then, like, obviously now it's like, oh, she's so fucking cool. She's Gillian Anderson.
Yeah. But you're not allowed. No, that you're not allowed to have that, Parry. You're not allowed to have her talent.
But you can go on looks as well. She's got it covered. Okay. Clarky, do you remember your Gillian Anderson story? Can you tell your Gillian Anderson story? Because
it
always makes me chuckle.
I don't know if I remember this. I'm sure I've heard it before, but I don't know if I remember it. I
went to the theatre.
Oh, yes.
Me and my girlfriend.
Ah,
God. How passe.
It's a shame.
I kept trying to lose her. Halfway through, I was like, I tell you what, I'm going to go sit in a different section.
Yeah. You were both delighted.
You arrived separately, didn't you? You arrived separately. Oh, are you going to see this?
Oh, okay.
Awesome.
And she knew someone. We'd gone to see a show that Gillian Anderson was starring in, and she knew someone at the theatre who got the tickets.
Ooh.
And it was the last night, and so it was like, come to the last night party.
Whoa!
Okay,
this is amazing.
So went to the last. Well, it kind of is, and it isn't. Because
keep going.
Sorry.
This is what I'm talking about.
I won't interrupt you, but it does sound exciting. You arrive
at the last night party, yeah. And you're like, oh, everyone here is excited about the show because they were in it, and they're excited about each other because they know each other, and we're just there.
Yeah.
And we don't really know anyone. We chatted to a mate for a bit, but then he was also a part of. You know, he wanted to go off and chat to people who were there for the show.
Of course.
So essentially, we're just kind of raiding some free beer.
The fridge.
And feed it. Yeah. We're just eating up all the oranges and baked potatoes.
Have you got any potatoes? Sorry. Sorry to ask.
Can I just ask, what time is the DJ getting here? Because it's a bit quiet.
been a while.
And so everyone, there was like a balcony bit.
Oh, now it's a true Clarky story.
Finally,
yeah. So you thought, I brought my spoon with me. I've brought my bird feeder. I'm going to give everyone a treat.
My party trip.
I'm going to finagle my
way
into the party.
Nobody was interested for some reason. They'd all gone out onto the balcony. So we're like, oh, well, we'll stay in the room then because
we don't know anyone.
Just kind of stay out of everyone's way.
Yeah.
But then they started to do speeches. So they rounded everyone up, which meant that everyone came back out from the balcony and we were like stood front and center because we weren't on the balcony. So then we were like right at the front for everyone's speeches. And everyone was getting up on chairs and kind of addressing the room. And there we were stood, plumb in the front and center. And they were like, and of course, the speeches are about everyone there.
Yeah.
So Gillian Anderson got up on the chair to do her speech and there we stood. And it was like that scene in The Three Amigos where they infiltrate the party.
Yeah.
And they start trying to talk about everyone there. And they're like, oh no. So we're just kind of like looking at the floor, trying not to catch people's eye, because occasionally just see people kind of, who am I going to talk about next? As they look around the room and there we are.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Terrible.
And how did your speech go over?
Oh, well, top five.
I'm glad to announce that, Gillian, you're still in the top three. Anyway.
And I've been given a free pass, so keep putting that out there.
Hop in my streetcar named Desire, am I right? So being up close with Gillian, top three?
Oh,
Clarkie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If I had such lists.
Exactly, there you go.
My top three would be Gillian Anderson, David Duchovny, and the dude who played Eugene Toombs.
The cigarette-smoking man.
The smoking man, yeah.
It's between Steve Bannon.
He's the Bannon of the show.
Wait, he was never called the cigarette-smoking man, was he?
Yeah, that's his name.
I thought it was called the smoking man.
I think it was the cigarette-smoking man.
It was really cumbersome.
Was he?
Quite cool because it was so cumbersome.
My top three are the three lone gunmen. And if you don't enjoy that deep cut, go back and watch The X-Files.
So good.
I memorised Duchovny's FBI number when I was 16.
Did you?
Wow. Yeah.
I just thought...
Can you do it now, do you think?
I might be... No. I don't have my own national insurance number. I do. And then my third on the list was... I said, can it be historical? And there was a lot of debate. There was a lot of debate that it couldn't... Well, Anne Boleyn in the Tudors... Am I right?
I've not seen the Tudors. Go on. Can we guess the historical figure?
You can't. Well, it's not a historical figure. I was like,
no. You're allowed to say no, Tom. You're allowed to say no.
It wasn't a historical figure. It was a. It was like going back to a specific time.
Ah, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, if Jane is allowed.
Exactly.
Tom Jones through the ages.
It was akin to Tom Jones.
Right.
Yeah. So I can give you the year if you want.
Yes.
I was like mid-70s.
You were mid-70s?
No, I went back to...
Oh, you didn't go to...
Late 70s.
So we're talking late 70s.
79, maybe?
Ooh,
80. Oh, yes.
That's where I went to.
79, 80.
But it just feels so grubby.
That's Blondie.
What I mean. It's like, yes, Debbie Harry.
Was it
Debbie
Harry?
Debbie Harry on a roof, 1980.
Debbie.
I know what you mean.
It just feels pretty grubby, though.
Yeah.
I'd never want to say that to Debbie Harry's face either, do you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to have
this,
them...
This imagine, feels grubby.
Imagine the top three together and you say, Gillian, you're there today. Debbie, you're there back in 1980. Like, you don't want that chat.
Sure, yeah.
Although, I don't know if I'd be... I wouldn't be offended if someone said to me, Tom, you, but in 1999...
Of course, you wouldn't be offended making someone's top three of anyone in the world.
You've been in someone's top three, though, haven't you?
Have you?
Parry, you were in someone's top three because they came up to us after that gig in Leeds where Clarkie rolled on his ankle.
Yeah. Exactly.
Rolling on his ankle, showing weakness, immediately losing a place in the top three.
Clarkie had recently been relegated out of the top. Yeah, no, someone said you're on my laminated list.
Yeah. Which
it was a slightly odd moment where she said, like, you know, like you say famous people where if you meet them, you're okay to sleep with them. You're like that agreed person.
I don't
in our relationship.
Yeah, I think that seems too. I think no offense to you, but you're too attainable. I mean, you're not attainable, obviously, because you're a married man.
I'm just a guy who can't say no.
Well, I stand corrected. But no, you're like the fact that she's able to approach you.
Is that the song?
I'm just a girl who can't say no. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Where's it from?
I'm just a girl who can't say no. I'm in a terrible fix. Where is it from?
Is it like Annie Get Your Gun or something?
Annie, do you want a gun? Yes.
I can't say no.
Are you sure you know how to work this gun?
Yes. Are you sure that's the right end?
Yes. The end. Blackout. Act one. I've seen enough. Notebook closed. Out I go.
There he goes. One of the three lone gunmen.
Annie's one of the three lone gunmen.
I think as well. If it's the end blackout. I think the phrase "I've seen enough" is fine. The end blackout. Well, I've seen enough. Yeah. All of us have. It's the end of the fucking show, you lunatic. Emma is informing us it's actually Oklahoma.
That's a very funny thing to say at the end of a film or the end of a theatre piece. Well, I've seen enough. They're leaving. Mate.
Waiting to the very end of the credits.
Yeah. And speaking to an empty theatre cinema.
Yeah. Well, I've seen enough, and there's just one guy with a bin bag waiting to clean up all the popcorn.
Can you get out?
Yes, yeah, you have seen enough, yeah. Next screening starts in 2 minutes' time. Go on, shift.
Well, if you insist, I'll stick around. I hated it, though. I did hate it.
And anyway, haven't you got a gig you're supposed to be DJing at?
Take these sacks of potatoes with you, mate.
Get Big Driss out of the cinema pronto. Fair play, he did leave the house, though, so it's a big step for him. Still in my top three.
Well, I've heard enough.
House meeting. Can I have a lift? I live in London. House meeting.
So, what a strong ep.
Listener dear, have you got a top three? Get in touch. Let us know.
Send us your top three. pappysflatshare@gmail.com. We'll... yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yes, Pat.
Oh, yep. Sorry.
It's Clarkie. Lovely. It's a lovely bit of business from Clarkie. What a callback.
So so don't forget, folks, if you want to join the Patreon, it's patreon.com/pappysflatshare. Find us on Twitter as well, @pappystweet. Find us on Instagram @pappyscomedy. Facebook,
also,
all that kind of stuff.
Lob us a review, actually.
Yes.
Where would one do that, Clarkie?
On bloody, Apple iTunes.
Exactly,
yeah,
right.
On the Apple iTunes. And
preface it, Apple. Finish it with I've seen enough. 5 stars, I've seen enough, should do it, actually.
Yeah, lovely. Well, have a wonderful week, folks, and we will see you next time on whatever we're going to do next week. I'm not sure. Maybe it's a Flatshare stand down. Maybe it's a Beef Brothers. I don't know, but it doesn't matter because it's going to be wonderful. Cheers, everyone.
Oh, today was produced by Emma Corsham.
Very good point.
Corsham team.
Cheers everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Cool. All right. Oh. Let's get started. Are you okay, Harry? I've got to ask. Are you all right, man?
I'd started.
Ah, right. Was that you starting?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Go again.
It feels silly to do it again.
No, do it. I'm sorry. I think I'm on a bit of a delay here. I think my internet's a bit laggy, so that's what happened. But do it.
Houston. Oh no. Houston, this is ground control. Please be upstanding for today's neighborhood
watch.
Donald
Duck is what you're
roll
doing here.
Call. Okay. Ground control. Neighborhood watch roll call. All systems check.
In 10, 9, 8.
Checking. I forgot. Checking Katie. Oh, no, that's not how it works. that's a better noise.
Checking Harry Diantis. Ten.
Checking. Alex Whitmore.
Checking. Matt Butler.
Checking. Robin Sally.
Checking. Andrew Tate.
Checking. Someone who likes to listen to the podcasts of Mark Maron. It's Sarah Baron. I'm trying.
Thank you for getting this back on track. Oh. Houston. Checking.
Will someone turn off that coffee machine?
Houston. checking someone who may or may not have recently been put on furlough. It's Caroline Purslow.
Seven.
Checking, checking.
Six.
10.
11.
17.
Checking.
Pecking.
Somebody who likes a good melody. It's Kevin Mellally.
Checking.
Checking someone who recently purchased one of those satchels. Houston. It looks very nice on her. She keeps her papers in it. Her name's Rachel. With checking.
Checking the rhyme there. Checking
no
the
time
rhyme.
To check the rhyme. Houston, we have a problem.
We have a problem.
A serious problem. Checking someone who
Houston
has recently whose hair needs cutting. Checking Nick Utting.
Doctors. Ooh.
The danger right behind you.
Checking.
Checking. 11.
Checking. We have someone. We've got a problem.
There's someone on the moon. Get that person off the moon.
That was the point of the mission. It's not a problem. Over.
Oh! No, but they're in an absolute frenzy. It's K.W. McKenzie.
Get him off the moon.
Listen,
get him off the moon.
We've got a problem. Someone's on the moon.
Listen, checking.
And they're chopping down a tree made of pine. There's a pine tree on the moon. It's an incredible discovery for the whole mission. Happy Christmas, down. Everyone. And especially, happy Christmas, Danielle Devine.
Danielle Devine, happy Christmas to you.
7. 6.
Happy Christmas. Hope you get a visit from old
5.
Saint Nick.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And his surname is Adams.
Two.
It's Nick Adams. He's on the moon in the pine tree.
Liftoff.
We're on the moon.
Giant steps are what you take.
You take
walking
when your name is Nick Adams.
Happy Christmas, Danielle Devine, and to Nick Adams.
K.W. McKenzie, we love you. And Nick Adams.
Rachel, you're an absolute loon. And Nick Adams.
Nick Utting and Kevin Mullally and Caroline Purslow and Sarah Barron, we love you. And Nick Adams.
Andrew Tate Nick and Adams. Robin Sally have gone to Saturn. When they got there, they saw Matt Butler and Nick Adams.
Nick Adams. Alex Whitmore and Harry Diantis, they are looking like a praying mantis. They're up on their haunches, they're looking around, but now they've
Nick
seen
Adams.
Nick Adams.
That could
and Katie
and
was there. And
oh no,
Katie
that's not
was
how
there.
This works.
And Katie was there as well. Oh, giant steps are what you take when your name is Nick
that
Adams.
That concludes over today's Neighbourhood Patreon Watch. Roll call!
Thanks, everybody. And Houston, we have a solution.
It's Nick Adams.
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 Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.